Baba.
You would remember. Because that is what humanity is. That is what to be a Muslim is.
Assalamu alaikum, Baba. If I may, I think most Muslims struggle with defining what is a real Muslim, and that includes myself and probably everyone in this room. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif lam mim, dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fihi hudan lil-muttaqin. Alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghaybi wa yuqimuna as-salata wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. Walladhina yu'minuna bima unzila ilayka wa ma unzila min qablik. Wa bil-akhirati hum yuqinun. Ulaika ala hudan min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly gives us a very broad definition of what a Muslim is. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Allah says, here's the book, there's no question about what's in it. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, and this is guidance to those who believe. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who believe in the unknown and do their prayer and spend from the blessings of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here clearly Allah doesn't say a Muslim is A, B, C, D. Allah describes acts and beliefs. And then the contrast, Allah goes to those who don't believe and describes them. He would say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who don't believe, whether you address them, warn them or not, they don't believe. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غَشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا بِمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَاءُ. And those who don't believe, no matter what you say to them, as you just said, they don't believe. And if you tell them, believe like people who do believe or believe before you, they say, we're not going to believe like those stupid people. So here's another description of those who are not believers. And then, a few verses later, Allah says, in another description, the mu'mins, the believers, are those who do good and give. Now, throughout the Quran, these verses are repeated over and over. And so it seems that we don't have a specific prescription that can describe what a Muslim is if we want to distinguish a Muslim from a Christian or a Jew. No, there's a description for what a human being is, clearly. Now, I think the struggle that we all have today, in my estimation, is that many people have taken the broader principles of Islam and turned Islam into a set of rituals. What does a Muslim wear? Not what does a Muslim believe or do. Do we wear taqiyya? Do we wear hijab? Do we wear this and that? Do we grow our hair long? Do we shave our beards? Do we leave a have a goatee? That is another aspect that is becoming problematic. And the confusing to many of us, Baba, the confusing dilemma is that, as you have just mentioned, there are so many schools of thought and scholars who followed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who began to interpret using their own prudence. They began to interpret the Quran and the actions of the Prophet. And I've done a lot of work, and I've found a lot of questionable interpretations in that. And sometimes it's so confusing. And so, as you have mentioned, I think I can trust that the Quran is probably the best authoritative source of knowledge about Islam. And what is confusing many Muslims is that there are so many schools of thought and so many different interpretations, some of which are in direct contradiction to some of the principles in the Quran. And this makes the task of each and every one of us very challenging as to trying to understand how to be a Muslim. What does a Muslim do?
And I just said, not from me, but quoting an ayat, and I have briefly, for instance, usually in the translation of the Quran, Kusur is translated as man is at a loss. Yeah. Now you are an Arabic speaking person. Mm-hmm. What is Khusran?
Khusran.
Yes.
It has several meanings. It means loss.
Hmm?
To be at loss.
And?
It could also mean to be on the wrong side of the truth.
It also, in my understanding, at least in the Ottoman Turkish use of it, there is a somebody in Husran is in pain.
True.
That so he's in pain because he regrets it. He regrets whatever it is. Yeah. And I feel in that case that man is in loss. Is something which is quite abstract. Man who is in loss means that man is heedless, in my mind. But it doesn't, in my vocabulary, it doesn't mean the heedless at all in this case. That man somehow is not being aware of the value of time, and is in state of regret of that he hasn't used it right, you know. That. Now, what you quote is that section is that there is Iman and there is Islam. So I think the section which you quote of Elif Lam Mim is the description of Iman. For instance, in the faith, the real faith, is in the belief of the guide, of the unseen, who has seen Allah. No. But do you have to really see him? Huh? I mean, you see, some cynic has asked a Bedouin, you are talking about Allah and all that. And he said, show me that he exists. And the Bedouin, he said, do you see those round things on the sand? He said, yeah, I do. So what is it? And he said, that's the footsteps of a camel. And the Arab said, Bedouin said, where is the camel? Huh? I mean, camel is not there, but the footsteps is there. that proves that the camel exists. No? So I mean the footsteps, astaghfirullah wa Allah ta'ala, is right here. Each and every one of us. The carpet on which you are sitting, the air which you are breathing, and the process of the food which you have eaten, which tomorrow morning will end up in the bathroom. Yeah. And all this, you know, of the prettiest and what we consider ugly, hayrihi wa sharrihi, is the signs of Allah Ta'ala. To be a Muslim is what a Muslim does, what a Muslim feels, what a Muslim thinks, and what a Muslim says. We say whatever comes in our mind, we feel all sorts of things, and usually quite evil, and our thoughts are also half and half, half evil and half good, and then who is the one who is going to be able to stop thinking evil and pass it to the good, stop feeling evil, pass it to the good, and stop doing evil, pass it to the good. That's what Islam is in my mind. You can pray as much. I know so many people who have never missed a prayer, but they are the worst people in the world. And the confusion which you are talking about is precisely the teachers, you know, who misunderstood or for some reason for their own benefit distort that make Islam precisely just the form. I mean, if you grow a beard, if you cut your fingernails, and if you dress up like a Muslim, and especially if you also in time make your prayers, and fast during the Ramadan, you're bound for Jannah. But, you know, all the rest, you don't have to do. No? You don't have to think like a Muslim, you don't have to feel like a Muslim, you don't have to do anything like a Muslim. That is where the tragedy is. And unfortunately, majority of the Muslims today, you know, we have come to the state that we take Islam as the Pakistani sheikh tells you what it is. I'm sorry, I'm using Pakistani sheikh. No? Yeah. And it seems when they see each other, how is business, they say. Yeah. There we go. I've just sinned. May Allah forgive me.
Aspects of our understanding of the Quran, that many of us, when we think of the Quran, we are told the Quran is good for every time and for every place, for every age. It's good for all time. And that is maybe true. But I think in application of that principle, does it mean that the content and the experiences and the stories of the Quran that had taken place at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, do those experiences apply to today in the 21st century?
At the time of Prophet, sorry to cut you.
It's okay.
How many of the Ashab Kiram knew how much Quran?
Not many.
There was no Quran to read, for one thing.
Precisely.
You know? And how did they behave? There was no Quran.
Sure.
Yeah? that was the living hadith, no? And how did they behave? Most of us, you know, especially the ones who know Arabic, I mean, they read the Quran to be able to, they even memorize it, to be able to quote it, you know. And it's very nice, you know, to quote the Quran. And then what? I mean, it is good to quote the Quran and from it draw a meaning, mm-hmm. and make one see, mm-hmm. you know, that Allah Ta'ala really it's not to be recited. Mm-hmm. It is in fact in the to, you know, exalt each other, make each other, you know, to follow the path of truth. I mean, that's the. For instance, we talk about the lack of unity. But unity is to care so much for your friend, you know, so that you really, especially if you know the truth, or you know that you feel that you are at least on the path of truth, you know, hold him by the hand and, you know, come with me. I mean, if I know a better home for my friend, I would take him by the hand, and or a better restaurant, you know, I'd take him by the hand and bring him to a better restaurant. So if I know a better place, you know, I would spend the time and energy and leave about my own occupations, you know, to try to bring him to some place. And then on the way, there are thorns and there are precipices, there are rains and thunderstorms, and so I said, that's okay, you know, that we just watch what a nice place we are going to go, you know, to be able to somehow make him be patient too. And that's what I love about this surah, especially that not only do it yourself, but also make others do it. Not so that people say that you are such a good guy, and so that they will write an article about you in the New York Times, you know, or give you a medal. I think our misfortune is the lack of alims. The more, and in my experience I have met such people, the more they know, the more they hide. And the more they pass information which they know perfectly well is not right. I mean, it's criminal. I mean, it's the hand of evil, you know.
So, Baba, the question I wanted to address is that the whole notion of the Quran being good for every time and age is that there are certain experiences that have taken place during the life of the Prophet that couldn't possibly be replicated in the 21st century. Nevertheless, there are some scientific proclamations that can truly be a subject of reflection and introspection in the 21st century. There's no question about that.
Such as?
For example, there are a number of accounts pertaining to the nature of creation, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have created the heaven and earth, and we have created in the heavens in constant expansion, for example. That is something worthy of thinking about. And Allah is trying to show us his power. that he creates a universe in constant expansion, something we've just only come to understand recently. And there's a list, that a huge list of scientific verses that can challenge our understanding. There's no question about that. But there are a lot of social and economic practices that have taken place in the 7th century that couldn't possibly be appropriate for the 21st century. And I think my understanding of the Quran is that, yes, it is good for each age and time, in that we should take it and tweak it in accordance with the age and time. Not necessarily to practice what people have practiced in the 7th century.
They're talking about, and there are modern aliens. There is one, the one who maybe, what's his name? Do you know who is sort of who wants to substantiate the Quran by scientific findings? Kim o? Erzincan'ın? Tanıştık efendi, bana tanıştırdı onu.
Gülbaki mi? Gülbaki mi?
Evet. So there is really sort of a PhD, you know, and he's trying to substantiate that Allah is right, you know, by the scientific shit, you know, which every 2 days changes. I mean, even Einstein's theory of relativity, 2 days changes. He tries to substantiate that Allah is right by it reminds me of the story of Hazrat Ibn Arabi, that one day it seems somebody come and knocking at the door, and he sent his maid to find out who he was. The maid come back and said that there is a man who really wants to tell you that he has got 1,000 proofs that there is, you know, Allah Ta'ala. He said, send the son of a bitch away, because he must have 1,000 doubts. You know, I mean, believe in the Gaiba. You're going to prove that Allah is right because of some scientific formula? I mean, no. And people are all excited about this. In addition, you know, people read this and say, "Oh, wow! So Allah was right then, you know, because the Einstein proved that he was right." Please.
Who is a Muslim, Baba?
Who is a Turkish author?
Extremely important, the belief of the Gaib. But it is not really Gaib. I mean, you have to be totally stupid. You know, when you see the bare tree, somehow all of them look totally dead, and then spring, that there's all these flowers and the green and everything come out. I mean, you know, this marvel, you know, the bird's flight, you know, and it's this, the human being, the anatomy of the human being. Just look at the anatomy of the human being. I mean, you know, this, what intricate, the colors. Unbelievable color. I'm a painter. You know, I mean, he's such an incredible painter. You know, that you cannot ever imitate, you know, what he's doing. And then physically, you know that there's no colors. It's just a molecular structure, you know, that it sort of absorbs certain millimicrons and then reflects certain millimicrons, and so it is red and green and purple and all these things. I mean, what a brush! You know, it's not the color, but it is sort of, you know, I mean, it's a marvel. He's incredible. You know, how can you somehow, you know, not get excited about them, sort of in awe, you know, all this, and which is nothing. It is the tiny little planet here in the huge universe, and the leaves of the tiny little planet we're talking about. You know, I mean, when you look at a human being from the top of Empire State Building, you see how small you are. So then imagine in the scale of the universe, you know, the scale of the human being.
Do all Muslims study Islam?
Name is?
should all Muslims study Islam? If everything born from Allah is a Muslim, and some become Christians, some become Jews, and different denominations, and we as Muslims study Islam for religion, so we're all Muslims.
Tam anlayamadım ama galiba şöyle bir şey söylüyor.
Hepimiz Müslümanız.
Hepimiz Müslümanız. Hristiyan da olsak, Musevi de olsak.
İşin boku hiçbirimiz Müslüman değiliz. Keşke olsak. Keşke olsak. Hepimiz sahte Müslümanız. So maybe we can make a New Year's resolution to be a Muslim next year. I mean, what is, if you don't remember, you are a human being. Are you a human being? I mean, if you don't remember that you are a Muslim, are you a Muslim? If you don't remember, you are a man. Are you a man? If you don't remember, you are a woman. Are you a woman? You know, I mean, maybe you are a mouse. No, this famous story that it seems there is a insane man, you know, who thought that he was a mouse. And then they told him that, look, I mean, if you keep saying that you love Swiss cheese and, you know, and you look for little holes to hide yourself, you will never get out of the insane asylum. I mean, you know, tell them that you don't like cheese and you don't like little holes, you know, to go into, and say that you are not a mouse. No, so he went to the doctor and said, the doctor, you know, I'm cured. Oh. You're not mouse anymore? Oh, definitely not. You don't like cheese? No. Nope. You don't like little holes to hide yourself? No. No. I said, well, okay, then, you know, I'm going to release you. He said, but doctor, I've got one last question. That I know I am not a mouse, and you know I am not a mouse, but do you think that the cats also know that I am not a mouse? So I know I am a Muslim, you know I am a Muslim, but you think that God knows I am a Muslim?
Baba, I have to agree with you that you just said something so true. The dilemma that we have is that there are many Muslim alims, in parentheses, who did a wonderful job at making our understanding of Islam very difficult. And when I read the Quran or listen to it on a daily basis, I go to sleep listening to it, and sometimes I can't sleep because I keep thinking about everything that it says. I just find the Quran and Islam to be this incredible, beautiful, intelligent piece of work. And we have done such a terrible, terrible job at explaining our theology to non-Muslims. We've done a horrific job. I mean, when you look at the Quran in totality, here you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, on one hand says to us, and here is the story of Abraham, and that's the story of Moses, and here's the story of Solomon, and David, and the children, and here's what they did, and this is how they lived. And then and here's Jesus Christ, and that's how he lived. And so when Prophet Muhammad came in, he was basically affirming the principles that were professed and taught to all the Jewish and non-Jewish prophets, including Isa, son of Mary, peace be upon all of them. So he was just really affirming that, and he did something so beautifully, Allah through him, so beautifully, he combined all of those theologies into one, and then he called it submission to the will of Allah. And then the issue became, okay, here's a little tweak for Isa alayhi salam. We had a little misunderstanding here. And for the Jews, you just went too far a little bit here. But in essence, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam didn't come up with anything new. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we failed to teach that to the world. And that, and when non-Muslims think of Muslims, they think we come from Mars. And they think we worship cockroaches. And we worship crazy things. And I just can't fathom how we got this far or to this point, where the whole world is terrified of us.
The point to me. Islam is still considered to be the fastest growing religion, though.
We know that.
Biz Ali Kerimallah ve Şuhu Üç Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem says that I am the Medina of knowledge and Ali is the gate. He claims that knowledge is a dot and the man of knowledge increased it. And indeed, actually the alims of goodwill, instead of simplifying the things, they have increased it and increased it and increased it, like you said, you know, thousands of interpretations of the Quran and thousands of interpretations of the Quran, and all what it comes to is a total confusion. So you cannot find the dot anymore. Yeah? That's the unfortunate thing. But the dot, I think, is amel-i-salihat. Each and every one of us, we have not been created in vain. Each and every one of us has a purpose in the harmony, you know, in the divine harmony. Not only us, but every tree, every atom, every molecule, you know, it has got absolutely a point, a duty, you know, which person, and with the exception of you know, everything else more or less do what they were supposed to do. I mean, an orange tree grows oranges. They don't grow apples, you know? And a rose tree doesn't grow cactuses, it grows roses. You know? But it is us, you know, who the human being, a prime creation of Allah Ta'ala, also have exactly like the orange tree. We are each and one of us, I am supposed to be an orange tree, you are supposed to be a corn, you are supposed to be a banana tree, you know, that people can, you know, we are like that. The point is, you know, to find, you know, what the purpose, this is selfishness, you know, this is man arafa nafsahu, that you have to really know, you know, who you are and what is the purpose of your creation. And of course, we think our purpose of creation, oh, so many things. No, it's one thing which takes all our lives to actualize, you know, to do it. And we have to, I mean, this is the goal of life, it is supposed to be. But knowledge, you know, is simple, and the alims have increased it, and that's what you are saying. And then the knowledge is lost.
Yes.
Ya bir soru var arka taraftan.
Dinliyoruz.
Hi, my question is about marriage. I know Quran doesn't 100% approve of marriage between a Muslim woman and a non-Muslim man, but there are like different points of views about it. So I just wanted to hear your point of view.
Bir Müslüme ile gayrimüslimin evlenmesi konusunda
ne?
Bir Müslüme ile gayrimüslimin evlenmesi konusunda farklı görüşler var. Kur'an-ı Kerim'de bunun teşvik edilmediğini, geleneklerde bunun teşvik edilmediğini biliyorum. Fakat sizin görüşünüzü merak ediyorum.
(Gülüyor) It's generally understood and generally practiced that a Muslim man can marry Ahli Kitab. A Muslim man can marry a Jewish woman and a Christian woman, but not necessarily a Buddhist or a Brahmanist or this or that or fire worshiper, etc. Now, on the other hand, a Muslim woman can only marry a Muslim man. Now, this is the general law. Now, why? Now, let us take it in the, because if you would take it in the, masculinist way, we don't want to do that. You know? Let's take it in the feminist concept. A Muslim woman, Allahu Ta'ala addresses in the Quran, the male believers and female believers, and he talks about them equally. So now and today, in the advent of feminism, a woman is a person, and she is to be considered that she can do what a man can do. Now you're talking my opinion. Now, for once, I am telling you my thought again in relation to both the actual culture, of feminism culture, and also the what Allah Ta'ala ordains. So then the relationship of a woman who is really a Muslim, for instance, is supposed to do, as we were talking about it, that all her life, every second and minute of her life somehow is dictated by Allah Ta'ala. Now, the husband is a Christian or a Jew. Now, he goes to church or goes to the temple, once a week, and he celebrates the few holidays during the year, and he has got the morality of the Old Testament and the New Testament that he is supposed to be kind and he is to be generous and etc., etc., like exactly like a Muslim, but somehow that it has been much more relaxed. Because being an older religion, and both Judaism and Christianity, is much more relaxed. While the case of the Muslim woman is, if you want to, much more strict in her daily life. Now, here, there is definitely not a possibility of being one. Because a marriage is supposed to be something that two people become one. Now, in that case, you see, there is a difficulty that they cannot be one. That is my understanding of it. Not the... now, then you are going to tell me, but how about the men? The man, why can he marry then? The same thing would be okay. Now the man strictly is following Islamic thought or Islamic life in his tradition. in it, his wife is both in the Hadith and in the Quran, is that he is supposed to treat his wife unlike what it appears, unfortunately, precisely. If you look at the Saudis, and in fact, if you look, most of the Islamic culture, the women are treated, you know, with a stick. But in reality, in the truth of Islam, not so. That the woman is treated with extreme care and extreme gentleness, and although you may marry four women, you know, but each of them, I mean, you cannot sleep with one and not sleep with the three. You have to, you sleep all three of them. You buy them something, you have to buy all four of them. You know, their bed should be as comfortable as and each and every one of them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, in the case of men, the man somehow does his best to accommodate his wife, you know, Christian or Jew that he would be. But in the case of woman, she cannot do that, you know, to a Christian or Jewish man. So that is what I think the problem is. And of course, like we have found precisely in Islam, we cheat, you know, we cheat. So the man becomes nominally a Muslim. It is very easy, just a couple of words. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that's it, he's a Muslim. He practices or doesn't practice, you know, it doesn't matter, because there are millions of people, you know, who are born Muslims and who do not practice their Islam. So they are still Muslims, but they are sinning Muslims, right? I mean, it's
Baba, on the issue you just mentioned here, the issue of marrying two, three, or four. Baba, in this particular verse here.
Well, let's stick to her question.
Yes.
Forget about the reason of being able to four and this and that.
Let's not go into this discussion. But I think it's a very important topic here, because a lot of people have a misunderstanding of this. The Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala very strictly, he says, you may take two, three, and four, but if you fear that you will not achieve total equality, then only one. And I don't think the ayat was meant that we can marry more than one.
No.
I think it was meant that we cannot marry more than one.
It's a dispensation. I mean, you know. How many Muslims do you know who is married for? I mean, even in the old days.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know a lot, right? In Africa.
The brother was saying that. He said you cannot marry more than four wives. Who said that in the Quran? That's my question to you.
I'm sorry?
You say Islam says you cannot marry more than one wife.
Because the ayah says in Arabic, it says, مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. And if you fear not to be just and equal, then only one.
One.
That means you can only marry one, because you can never treat them all equal.
Yeah. It does not forbid you from marrying a wife as long as you treat them equally. That's what Baba
said. But you can never treat anybody equal, emotionally, financially, physically. You can't. It's impossible.
My father has three wives. It's like you have three different... I'm just going to make this example with all respect. The Quran is one book. It's one book which is a gift from Allah. The Quran is a full jar of water. You cannot put a drip more or drip of water, nor less, as it says in the Quran.
What's the point?
The point is, if you marry, you can marry four wives as long as you treat them right. Now, like Baba says, you're going to have to make sure you buy them different clothes the same way. If you're gonna be marrying them, you gotta treat them the same
you
level.
Can't achieve
but nothing forbids you. That's up to you, by the way.
Well, we got about feelings. Emotionally,
thank you very much.
What he said, I'm sorry.
Also, emotionally, you should treat them the same. That is not possible.
Give them tea.
Thank you.
I mean, that's an open subject, but Islam didn't forbid people to marry.
We are becoming like the Jews. In Islam, the tradition is one speaks and the other listens. But when everybody starts discussing, talking together, then we become a nice community of Jews. I'm sure they must have their own reason, and we must have our own reason.
Absolutely.
Now, is your question answered or not? Ne dedin?
Bir soru daha sormak istiyorum.
Muhammed Aleyhisselam. You can become a Muslim, but I think in order to become a Muslim, you have to believe it and accept that God is one and, you know, unique and Muhammad is his messenger. So just by saying the words and technically accepting Islam, does the person,
does she not
become a Muslim?
That's his problem. ama bu yalan olacak diyor. Şimdi söyleyecek bunu, benimle evlenmek için birine işaret getirecek ama yalan olacak diyor.
You're right. But then, you know, many of us Muslims in this room, we are imitating to be a Muslim, and we hope maybe one day we may become real Muslims. So it is not really lying, it is imitation. No? Imitation, and if Allah so wants, so it becomes real. For instance, what is the difference between a person who is born from Muslim parents? You know, we consider him to be a Muslim, yeah? And but he may or may not become, it is Allah's business, it's not our business, become a Muslim. So it is not lying, no? It is sort of imitating for whatever reason, you know, he loves the woman and she insists that he becomes a Muslim. So he says those words, and then if she is truly a Muslim, he appreciates, you know, this woman's attitude, doing her duties as a wife and a mother, you know, as a Muslim, and he thinks maybe, well, it's not such a bad thing to be, and he becomes a Muslim, or not, you know, or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is not lying, it is imitating, like all of us. We are all imitating to be a Muslim.
Baba, my question that I would like to ask, alhamdulillah that we have $1.5 billion billion people who are following the religion. My question is that we know we only have one Quran, the Quran al-Karim that was given to us as Muslim. Now, what am I wondering most is, although we have 1.5 billion Muslims, why the division between Muslim? This one said, I'm a Qadiriyya, I'm a Tijaniyya, I'm a Shia, I'm a Sunni, and that's dividing the whole world. That we all call ourselves Muslim at the end of the day, it's only one part through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what has his advice in the Quran. Why the division is going on through in the religion?
Mezheplerle tarikatları birbirine soktu. Neden diyor, biri Şii, biri Sünni, biri Kadiri, biri Şaziliye. Bir Kur'an, bir mesaj varsa neden bu kadar bölündük diyor.
Very simple. You see, you are from Africa. Right? I am from Turkey. Right? We have got different cultures. What's important is not we have got different colors, but we have got different cultures. Color doesn't mean a thing, yeah? But culture means something. Yeah? We have got different climate. No? Some places hot, some places cold. Yeah. Now, we are both Muslims. No? You are living in a hot country, I am living in a cold country. Yeah? I wear a fur coat, I am living in a cold country. You don't wear clothes. You are nude because it is hot. Huh? But we are both Muslims. It's like that. Huh? There are certain kinds of people that Islam has to be lived in a different, slightly different way. Whether I say Allahu Akbar like this, no? Or if I say Allahu Akbar like this, whether I hold my hands like this, or I hold myself like this, you know what I mean? Whether when I pray I hold my hands up there, or if I hold myself like that, what difference does it make? Do you understand what I'm saying? So whether I am nude or with a fur coat, no? Or whether I say Allahu Akbar like that, or Allahu Akbar like that. And when I am standing, instead I was holding like this, or I am holding myself like that. What difference does it make? Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So there is no difference between the Tijani, between the Hanafi, between the Sunni, between the Shi'i. It just, you know, it's all. Just little differences, but they are all praying to the same Allah, you know, they are all supposed to do the same thing. So, but because they are all different cultures and different places and different climates, you know, that they have to do it certain different way. Doesn't make at all sense. It is only by the influence of assholes, you know, who says, ah, you know, you are nude and he's wearing a fur coat, so the one who is wearing a fur coat is not a Muslim. The one, it's too hot, you know, he doesn't wear any clothes, he's not a Muslim. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, otherwise, it doesn't make any difference. It's just in the appearance. Yeah.
Is that to make confusion among the Muslims? All those things you speak about, they make
farklılık
confusion.
Farklılık da Müslümanların kafasını karıştırmaz mı?
Shouldn't. What difference does it make whether I pray like this or I pray like this? What difference does it make if I say Allahu Akbar like that or Allahu Akbar like that? I'm saying the same thing. You know, I'm turning all to the Kaaba and I am praying to the same Allah, and I'm trying to do the same thing which he asked me to do, or not to do what he asked me not to do. But so I move differently, you know, and doesn't make any difference whatsoever. It is just the meanness of some people precisely. They say, oh, you are different, you two are very different. And in fact, you know, the nude would fight the fur coated one, and the fur coated one should find the nude one, you know. And we say, oh yeah, of course, and he mustn't be a Muslim because he's wearing a fur coat, and he mustn't be a Muslim because he doesn't wear anything, huh? Right?
I have a question regarding the marriage. If a man is allowed to marry non-Muslim, let's say a Christian woman, I don't see it being an issue. But when you get a baby, when you have a kid, son and daughters, and what if they start following the mother instead of the father? Isn't it sinful for the dad?
Eğer diyor Müslüman bir erkek Hristiyan bir kadınla evlenirse ve çocukları olursa, bu çocuklar sonunda babayı değil de anneyi takip ederlerse, baba günaha mı girer?
Yes. Yes, because I mean, you see, one cannot induce another person to, but another person who believes in God, or the one God, you see, I mean, because that's why it is precise that they have to be Ahli Kitab. No, so they also say into they believe in the same God, but they call it a different name. The Prophet is different. So, one can make a Christian wife or a Jewish wife into a Muslim by behaving like a Muslim. I mean, if she looks at her husband and she feels that her husband's attitude toward her is better than a Christian husband or a Jewish husband, well, she will like him and she would want to take his religion, do you understand? But it doesn't matter if she doesn't. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was married to our mother Maryam, I think he was called. She was a Copt. She was a Coptic Christian. And she never became a Muslim. That was fine. So the same thing goes vice versa. You know, the same thing with a Muslim woman who married a Christian or a Jewish man who said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and as far as she's concerned, he's a Muslim. And if she behaves, you know, much better than a Christian or a Jewish wife, the man could finally become really, truly a Muslim. Or not, you know. So he will be a Muslim, a sinning Muslim. If he doesn't make his prayer, he continues eating pork or drinking wine. He's a Muslim, but he's a sinning Muslim like millions and millions of Muslims out there who are drinking and eating pork and not making their prayers. They are still Muslims, but they are sinning Muslims.
But the father has a responsibility for the children.
Çocukların Müslüman olarak yetişmesi için babanın sorumluluğu var mı diyor?
Var tabii. Of course there is. Yeah. I mean, don't you want your friend to be a Muslim? Yeah. So I mean, don't you want your son to be a Muslim? So you have to do your best by being a good father, by being a good example. Yeah. Kalkalım mı? Ben ne gibi uşak?
Evet.